Wow, we got so many things going on. I tell you what, we got a newcomer's dinner. We've got, let's see, what else did we just see? We just saw, what is it? Game night, family game night. Who's invited? Everybody. And last but not least, we have the women's event, which is entitled Overflow. Correct, Teresa? Yes. Overflow, and that's this week on Friday. So I can't wait for this women's event. Matter of fact, I'm so excited about it that I'm going to be there. So we'll be helping to play a little bit of music, so it'll be a great night. Well, I wanted to introduce some people to you, and they are special guests, and they're going to be special guests here quite a lot in the next months to come. And so really enjoy getting to know this couple. And Pastor Todd has been, well, he's going to tell you more, but he has been in Springfield, Oregon, for the past 27 years. And he's been the lead pastor there at New Life Church. And just had a long ministry there. And he and his wife, Chris, are going to be our interim teaching pastors. And so would you give a warm Bethel welcome to Pastor Todd and Chris Wagner.
Well, thank you, Roger. We are so excited to be here with you. This is my wife, Chris. We've been married for nearly 44 years. And I know you think I married a little child. but we are looking forward to a wonderful time with you folks. And I know that, as Roger said, we're guests. But I really want to tell you something about our heart. We want to be a part of this church. As a pastor, I often had guest speakers, and they would come and go. But we're looking forward to an extended time with you. And I know that we're interims, that we're not going to stay forever, that we have another church that we're home to. But for the months that we're here, we want to be a part of you, okay? So please get acquainted with us. We look forward to get acquainted with you. My wife is pretty good at names. I am awful at names. As a matter of fact, right where we live in Springfield, we have two grandsons, and recently my little 8-year-old grandson came up and was talking to me, and I looked down at him and I thought, what is the name of this kid? I honestly couldn't remember for a second, and it's awful. But we are looking forward to a wonderful relationship with you. And should we show him a picture of the family? Can you put up a picture of our family? All right, this is our family. And I'll go from left to right. That's our daughter, Chelsea, and her husband and son, Adric. They live in south of Chicago, about an hour south of Chicago. Anytime I say they live in Chicago, everybody's like, oh my goodness, oh no. They live in Joliet. And we're very fortunate. Our daughter gets to come home once a month for her work in the Eugene area, so we get to see her and the rest of the family. And then on the right side is my pastor. When I retired a year ago, the church elected our son, Brent, to be the pastor of our church, and that's his wife, Hosanna, and a couple of boys' names I can't recall. Anyway, Judah and Gavin there in the middle. And so that's the whole Wagner clan. And again, thank you. And thank you for welcoming us so much. Everything you've done has been so wonderful. You've welcomed us in. The elders have been so kind to us. Last night, the hotel, there was a wonderful gift of munchies and goodies and things for us. And everybody we've met has been so great. So thank you so much for the warm welcome. Okay. Honey, thank you. Tell you a little something about ourselves. Through the months that we're going to be with you, I'll tell you more about ourselves. And I'm so excited to be preaching to a new group of people because my stories will be new to you. instead of worn out, people, oh, I heard that before, Todd. You'll go, that's news, it's news. So I'm not going to tell you everything about us, just a little thumbnail. Chris and I met in college up at Northwest University and went into youth and music ministry for about 12 years, did some associate pastor work, and then we pastored in Newport for about between 5 and 6 years, and then the past 27 years in Springfield. And then last year, about a year ago, almost to this time, we retired from full-time ministry, but we're still with the church there. We're the pastor emeritus people there, which I understand there's a pastor emeritus among us here. Is he here? Where are you, brother? Over here somewhere. The hands are there. Hello, pastor. How are you? It's a great gig, isn't it? I still, when people say pastor, my head whips around, you know, because I think they're calling me. But Chris and I have had the privilege of doing two things. We're helping occasionally in the 2 to 5 year old group, and then we're helping with our seniors, and we're loading up the bus and going to Wildlife Safari next Saturday. I think it's kind of funny. I started my ministry loading up the bus and putting people on the bus to take them places when I was a youth pastor. And now I'm loading up probably the same people into a bus. And I'm taking them somewhere to go see Wildlife Safari. Well, today I'd like you to stand with me and get a Bible. You have a Bible? Do you have an app for the Bible? I mostly read on the Bible app. Probably you do too, many of you. But I'd like you to turn to the 23rd Psalm with me today. And you really should stand now because you're going to be sitting a long time. I haven't preached much in 13 months, and so I have got a lot of words. This could go till mid-afternoon. But turn to the 23rd Psalm, would you? It's only 6 verses, but I want you to read it with me. Because there's so many different translations, I'm just going to read, but you can follow along. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many of you appreciate those words? Oh, those are good words. All right, now before you're seated, I want you to look at somebody. Turn to somebody, not want somebody in your family. Turn to somebody and look at them. Look them up and down. Go ahead, come on. And now I want you to say to them, it looks like you've lost weight. Okay? All right? All right, you can be seated. Oh, thank you. All right. How many feel better now? I'm going to lunch later. I'm going to feel liberated. All right. Well, I shared a little bit about our life. All those years in ministry, our wonderful children, and all God has done for us. How many of you would agree with me that through your life has both ups and downs? I mean, there are some times you look at with great fondness and you go, wow, what a day. What a victory. What a good thing. What a wonderful memory. But there are also times in our lives where we go, what a difficult journey. What a struggle that was. And some of you may be in one of those times now where you're saying, this is a difficult time. Some may be saying, no, this is actually one of the best times of my life. Because all of those things are normal for all of us. But there is one constant for the believer that is true for us if we're in the good time or in the bad, and that is that we have a good shepherd to lead us in those times. Yeah, let's go ahead. Thank you that we have a good shepherd, Lord. No matter what we are facing, that shepherd is with us. And the psalm we just read is one of the favorites in Scripture that people have. Even people who have just a very passing knowledge of God. If you say, what's a Scripture you're aware of? They'll often name the 23rd Psalm. I've conducted, through the years, many, many funerals, and I'll say to the families, is there anything you would like read today? Often I'll be asked, could you read the 23rd Psalm? It brings a lot of comfort. And today I want to tell you, though, that the 23rd Psalm is not just something that we have a sentimental good feeling about. but it's a path for life. And it's if we can get a hold of it and understand the relationship that Jesus has in our life as Good Shepherd, I think it can be transforming to you today. We're actually going to spend 2 weeks in this because I've noticed something since I retired. Boy, I've had people tell me, isn't retirement the best? Somebody from my church recently said, isn't retirement just the best? I said, it is so awesome. It is so awesome. For one thing, I walk in the church on Sunday morning, and I'm just like, hey. I'm just waving to people, talking to people. I see my son running around like a chicken with his head cut off. I'm going, that's the way it is, bro. And then I had another guy in my church say to me, how do you like retirement? I said, I like it. He goes, it ain't what it cracked up to be. And I thought, oh. You see, but I've learned two things in retirement right in this past year that has really impacted me. One is I'm so thankful for the grace of God. I'm reminded that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, that he has done and is doing in our lives things that we simply did not deserve, good things. The other thing I'm grateful for, and I've been thinking about in the last year, and I don't mean this in a morbid way, is I'm really getting excited about heaven. I think that it's not just an age thing. I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm going to, you know, be going for a long time, but I'm just excited about the thought of spending forever with Jesus. Just forever with him. What an amazing prospect. So today we're going to talk about his grace in our lives for our daily life. And next Sunday we're going to talk about heaven. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, David said. So we're going to talk about that next week. The more I follow the Good Shepherd, the more I see just how good he is. Many years ago, the Lord, kind of by the Holy Spirit, spoke to me and said, sometimes you need to ask people this question. How is your soul? I'd like to ask you that question today. How is your soul? What's the condition of your soul today? How would you say your soul is? Is your soul satisfied? You see, the soul is the middle of our lives. It's where our emotions are, our heart, sometimes we call it. It's where we make decisions. It's where we have feelings. It's where we judge what's going on in our lives. How is your soul? What's the condition of your soul? Is your soul satisfied? The satisfaction of the soul can kind of be described like this. Last week, how many of you had a wonderful Easter meal? Yeah. At the end of that Easter meal, I could honestly say my body was satisfied. I didn't need any more food. I was satisfied. Are you satisfied? David said that his soul would be satisfied with the richest of foods. He wrote that in a psalm. He says, my soul is satisfied of foods, like I just eaten this great meal. And do you know when he said that? If you read that psalm, it's actually Psalm 63. The title, it says, when David had fled into the desert. He was either running away from Saul or his son Absalom. We don't know, but he had run away into the desert. And yet he could say, my soul is satisfied like I just had a great meal. No matter what we go through in life, there is satisfaction available for our soul. We can have peace in our soul. Soul satisfaction in our hearts. You can have prosperity of the soul, where the soul is growing, feeling the nearness and the power of God in our lives. We can live in soul safety. But we say, no matter what comes, no matter what trials, troubles, or things around me that could cause fear, my soul can be satisfied. So I hope you kept your Bible open to Psalm 23 because we're going to look at this verse by verse in a little message I've just called Soul Shepherd. Okay? Our Soul Shepherd. Looking at the first verse, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Now, want means an unmet need. He says, I'm not going to live with unmet needs in my life because my shepherd is in control of my life. Paul said, God is able to give you more than you need. Paul could agree with David. He says, all of my needs are met through my shepherd. And our shepherd knows what we need more than we do. If you were to get out a list and you were to start writing down, here's the things I need in my life. And then you turned it into Jesus and said, here's my list. These are all the things I need. He'd take that list from you. He'd go, that's a good start, but you have things that you need much more than these. He knows you better than you know you. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you're missing. But the soul shepherd does, and as we walk in relationship with him, he is filling needs that we didn't even know that we had. And not only does he know that, but let's take it to another step. He knows our needs, and then he directs us toward our needs and the fulfillment of our needs. Again, as Jesus said, he knows what we need before we need it. But then the Bible goes on to say, in verse number 3 of Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He leads his sheep to the things that they need. Right now, as you are responding to Christ, as Jesus, as your soul shepherd, he is leading you toward things that you need. Things you were even not aware of. Now that word make, he makes me lie down, is not that he commands us, but he is making the opportunity for us. It's not like a dog that we say, lie down. You know, and we say, I mean it, lie down, lie down. We just dog sat Brent and Hosanna's Labradoodle thing, what, golden doodle. He's a monster. He's not even a year old, and he's as big as a small pony, you know. And you say to him, Tano, lie down. And he just looks at you, I'm so happy. Lie down. And, you know, you just force him down. Stay, stay, stay. You turn around, he's up bouncing around. And no, Jesus is not making us lie down. He's providing an opportunity for us to lie down. So let's see where these sheep lived, okay? Now, most of us assume that when we see, and you see a slide here, when we see Israel and where sheep lived, we think of these green, beautiful, verdant hillsides, right? I did some studying on this, and they could not in Israel afford to give them the valleys to raise sheep. You always notice it was the shepherds out on the hillsides the night Jesus was born. All sheep were raised on hillsides because they had to use the valleys to grow food, and the sheep would just destroy any crops, so they were on the hillsides. Well, that sounds great. Look at the hills. It's beautiful. But do you know what? It's only beautiful like that 3 months out of the year. The rest of the time, it looks like this. Big change. And so when Jesus provides for us these belly deep clover fields of blessing and the opportunity to lie down and just everything's coming so easily, I'm not having to work at it, the blessings of God are coming on me. Understand this, God knows we need that sometimes, but he also knows that's not normal. It's not what we always are going to live in. And so how does a good shepherd deal with this? Well, when the opportunities come, he says, this is a time for you to build up. This time of having plenty is a time to grow fatter spiritually, to grow stronger. By nature, sheep don't lie down to eat. And we'll talk more about that why in a moment. They're normally on the move, but the shepherd gives a chance to rest and to lie down. And by nature, many of us, and I'm talking to you and me both, don't take the opportunity to rest in God. We are moving too quick. We are in such a rush. A little time in God's word, a little time in fellowship. Maybe we can make it to church today. I don't know about Bible study. I don't, you know, we're just going, going, going. And that rushed life leads to starvation for our souls. By nature, many of us are like that. The second thing that was mentioned here that I found interesting is he puts us beside quiet waters. I did some reading. Sheep will not drink out of rushing waters. If you took a sheep, apparently, I'm not a sheep farmer, thankfully. If you took a sheep and you put it next to a rushing water and said, get some water, the sheep would just stand there. They can't deal with the rushing water. So what does the Bible say that the shepherd does? He leads them beside quiet waters. I looked up the word. Quiet waters means quieted waters, stilled waters. The shepherd would actually, in preparation for the sheep, go in and dam up a section of the creek and make it into a little pond, knowing that the sheep would then come and drink. God prepares a place for you and me. God prepares a place of quiet, of fellowship, and of growth for us. He knows that we need to slow down. And today, and I normally don't like to go right to application in the middle of a message, but let me just take a moment and say, some of you need to slow down. Some of you are racing right past the opportunity God is giving you to grow in Him, to experience Him, to get out of the rushing waters and the fast-moving life and just enjoy relationship with Jesus. One of the things that's been great about being retired is that I don't really have a clock. So it's not as difficult now as it used to be, but I believe this. We all need to carve out a time where we say, this belongs to me and Jesus. Some of us need to understand the reason we say no to things like, well, I don't have time for fellowship. I understand you've got wonderful small groups here. I don't have time for those kind of groups. I don't have time to get into ministry because my life is moving so fast. I've got so much to do, so much to accomplish. Nobody ever got to the end of their life and said, I wish I would have been doing more things. Everybody else says things like, I wish I had more time with God. More time for my family, more time to minister, more time to do something that has eternal value. God will bring to you a new depth as you take advantage of those times to experience His abundance, His rest, and His peace. You see, God sees beyond the outer appearances and the surface indicators, and He sees your actual deepest needs. We all put on good fronts. Today, we're all wearing our good Sunday front. We're all looking good for everybody. We all we want everybody to know we're doing well. Our soul is rejoicing that we're killing it out there. But God actually sees our soul. And that's why I think a long time ago, Holy Spirit said, start asking people, how is it with your soul? Is your soul healthy? In the 23rd Psalm, look at the third verse. It says, He restores my soul. These things we were just talking about, the quieted streams, the green grass, are times for a restoration of soul. Soul restoration. Another word for restoration is recreation. We use the word recreation, right? When we go, the thing is, when we go to do recreation, sometimes it's really so fast and so, you know, we recently went to Disney World. That was not recreation. By the time we went with our grandkids, by the time we were done at Disney World, Chris and I needed about 3 days just to lay down. We were exhausted. Disney World was not recreation. Recreation, true recreation, means to recreate. It's to restore something that has been damaged. I have a wood shop, and I like taking an old piece of furniture that's scarred, and somebody painted it pink back in 1970, and it's wobbly. I like taking it apart, fixing it, putting it back together, sanding off all the blemishes, and make it like new. And God likes to take our soul and bring recreation to a damaged and worn out soul. He knows that our life is full of concerns, that we're full of attacks that come from all directions, and he knows the true condition of our heart. And like I said, sometimes we don't even know the real condition of our heart. There's a scripture I'm going to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It says this. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind." You can't even understand your own heart. But Jesus can. He knows what you need. The time with doeth the shepherd will be times of restoration. So how does he do that? Well, he guides. He guides our lives. In verse 23, it says, "He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." These paths of righteousness are not paths that make you righteous. You're righteous in Jesus Christ already. The blood of Jesus, the work that he did on the cross, and us coming to him as Savior, he made us righteous. So what he's doing now is guiding us in a path of righteousness, which is completely different than the paths we used to be on, which the Bible describes as crooked paths. There's a proverb that says, "People with integrity walk safely, but those who followed crooked paths will slip and fall." We choose what kind of path we're going to be on. The righteous path that the shepherd is going to lead us in, or the crooked path that we have been in our past. It's a human tendency to get on the wrong path, to pick up a path that is not the path the shepherd has for us. As a matter of fact, Jesus goes into some detail later when he's describing himself as a shepherd, and he says, as a good shepherd, he leaves the 99 and goes after the wandering sheep who's gone off in his own ways. And we've all seen the flannel graph or the picture of Jesus bringing back the sheep on his shoulders. The sheep is bloodied and dirty from its crooked path that it's been on. The shepherd has not forgotten us when we go on a crooked path, but we choose to follow him by our decision. We're going to follow him in those righteous paths. Some of you today, either at home or here, may say, "Pastor Todd, I am currently on a path that is not what Jesus intends for me." You think it's hidden. You think that only you know. Sometimes those paths have taken people into some very, very destructive places. A hidden addiction that you think you're controlling, and that you're a functional addict and nobody knows what you're doing. But it's not the righteous path that God has for you. It's leading you away into destruction. A sexual sin that you're involved in, that you think it's hidden. Nobody knows about my pornography. Nobody knows about the office affair. Nobody knows about what's going on. It's hidden well. God knows where your path is, and it's time to let the good shepherd come pick you up and get you back into a righteous path. Your relationships might be failing. A marriage coming apart, or another important relationship is going off the rails, and you're hiding it well. But today the good shepherd is here to bring you back to a righteous path. This is not a psalm that's just to be sentimental. This is a psalm about a direction to take, a decision to take that says, "I am going to follow the good shepherd," because the first verse has an important word in it that's so teeny most people overlook, and it's the word "is." David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's making a declaration. I have decided to follow him. I'm going to follow him into the green pastures. I'm going to follow him to still waters, but I'll also follow him on righteous paths. Today, the good shepherd wants you to follow him, and he will make you successful in that journey to follow him into blessing, to follow him into recreation, to follow him in a path of righteousness that will take you through this life all the way to heaven's gates. I've heard people say things like, but Pastor Todd, you don't know me. I'm beyond redemption. Oh man, I've heard that so many times. It breaks my heart. Really? Your sin is greater? Your failures are greater than the blood of Jesus Christ and his ability to forgive and restore and to give your life purpose and meaning and to bring back that which has been lost through bad decisions? Are you that far away? I don't think there is a soul on this earth that's that far away. Jesus made it a point while dying to save a thief on a cross. You are not too far away from the grace of God. Now, some of our paths, even the righteous ones, take us through difficult valleys. Show of hands, how many people have ever been through a difficult valley? There you go. Like I said, 9 months out of the year, the sheep, their existence was difficult. And if you take a look at this picture, I think we're to the next place. Am I? No, I'm ahead of myself, aren't I? I'm sorry, guys. In a moment, we're going to see this. Go to look at verse number 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We all walk through those difficult times. And like I was saying, the sheep, they had to, much of their year, go through difficult times. It's a contrast to the green pastures, belly-deep grass. Take a look at the picture here. I want to show you something interesting. Go ahead and go to the next slide. This is a close-up of those mountains in Israel. And how many of you see the trails cut across there? I was reading that those trails have been where shepherds have led their sheep for, I was going to say hundreds of years, thousands of years in Israel. Clear back to Jacob. And these patriarchs, they led their sheep here. And the reason there are so many paths is this. When the shepherd led them, he would take them across this hillside, and a sheep would get on each one of those paths. And those paths, like I said, have been carved there for millennials. And as they walk across there, these paths are about 10 feet apart, which means a sheep can go to the right or the left about 5 feet, and they can find little sprigs of grass that are still surviving from when the rain fell months ago that are still growing because they're around the rocks. There's a tiny bit of moisture there, and the shepherd leads them through there. These are paths through the valley. He will lead you through paths in the valley, and in the difficult times, the shepherd will make sure that you are still well cared for. And through these times, they live and they continue to thrive. In our life, you're going to experience dark times. David described it as the valley of the shadow of death, but we are not to fear because the shepherd is always with us. In John chapter 16, Jesus gave us a scripture, and I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Bible, which makes it really long. Have any of you ever read the Amplified Bible? Yeah, there's explaining in it. So follow along with this from John chapter 16. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you and have conquered it for you." Well, that's amazing news. So no matter what difficult time I go through, I'm to do it without fear. I'm to do it with confidence because the shepherd is ahead of me and he's conquered the problem for me ahead of my getting there. That's the shepherd that you and I have today. Now, as we're concluding today, I just want to tell you a story that many of you may be aware of. And thank you, slide guys. I went out of order. You were sharp. You knew what to do. You may have heard of a guy named Horatio Spafford. He was a contemporary of D.L. Moody in Chicago. Matter of fact, was friends with Moody. He was a great member of his church. He gave a lot of money to missions and to needs. He was involved in the outreach to Chicago, and he was a rich man. He had made his fortune in real estate and was doing quite well. And then one year, he went from the green grass of blessing into the difficult time in his life. And in that year, his little 4-year-old son died. Also in that year, most of his real estate burned up in the Chicago fire, the Great Chicago Fire. Well, he was just trying to get things back together. They went a couple years of trying to rebuild, and his wife and his 4 daughters said, "We're going to go to Europe on a cruise." And he was hoping to go with them, but circumstances came that he would have to wait about 4 days. He said, "You go ahead, I'll catch the next boat." And just a couple days out of leaving New York, he got the message that the ship that his wife was on with their children, his 4 daughters, had gone down. He agonized for some time, not knowing if any of his family had survived. And then he got a short little telegram from his wife that said, "Saved alone. His daughters are gone." He got on a ship as quickly as he could so he could get to his wife's side, who had gone on to England. And when he was crossing the Atlantic, the captain of his ship said, "Horatio, we're near the place where your daughters were lost." And on that voyage, he penned these words, which you probably know. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan may buffet, though trials may come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight and the clouds rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." You folks know that song? Have you ever heard it? Are you up to singing a cappella, just the chorus with me? "It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul." Sing that one more time. "It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul." Just like anybody else, Horatio's life did not end at that lowest point. As a matter of fact, when I was considering even telling this story, I thought, well, this isn't a very great way to end the message. That a man lost his business, lost his daughters, but God has a next page. And God has a next page in our lives, because David said confidently, "He leads me through the valley. He leads me through that drier time to yet another blessing." Here's the part of the story, like Paul Harvey would say, that you probably did not know. That God gave Horatio and his wife 3 more children. And that they moved to Jerusalem, where he could express his missionary heart in full ministry. They established something called the American Colony, a ministry there that served benevolently among the Jews, Muslims, and Christians in Israel. That ministry continued past their lifetime for 70 years in Israel. And in 1983, the building that he built for that ministry became the host place where the Oslo Peace Accords came to fruition. You see, we often think the dark time I'm in is the end of the road, but God has another chapter for our lives. And God has another chapter for your life. The next chapter is going to take you to yet another place of glory. There will be another green grass field for you. There will be another quieted waters in your life. The story's not over until we get to heaven's gates. And today, as we're concluding, I just want to ask you if you're starving for spiritual refreshment. Do you need recreation? Perhaps there is an injury in your life that you've endured. You've gone through a hurt, a disappointment. You've gone through a time where you've strayed off the path. I want you to hear me today. The Good Shepherd is here for you to set you on that righteous path that he ordained for you, to bring you back to a place of recreation, and to bring you to a place of soul satisfaction and your soul to thrive again. The God of the Old Testament, which is the same God we serve today, prophesied about the coming of the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 34. I'd like to read you just a few portions from it. Speaking for Christ, he says, "I myself will search for my sheep and will look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will tend them in good pastures. I will have them lie down. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak." That promise is for you today, friend. Would you bow your heads with me today? If you're scattered from the flock, and I'm not even saying that this is a matter of your salvation, but you have just walked away from that place of blessing. You've walked away from that place of soul satisfaction. You feel like you're separated somehow from the shepherd of your soul. Or maybe you never have received Christ as Savior. You know, I'd like you to understand there's a distinction. Being saved but being shepherded can be two different things. You may be saved. You may know that Jesus is your Savior and that you're forgiven. But are you walking with the care of the shepherd in your life? And if you'd say today, "Pastor Todd, I need to be back into a place with God, or I need to enter into a place with Jesus I've never been. I need the shepherding of Christ in my life." With your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, I'm not going to ask you to stand up and make a big deal today. I'm just going to ask you to do something. I like every person here today who would say with me in a moment, "I'm in a place of needing the shepherd to do something powerful in my life. I'm going through a dry and a difficult time. I'm going through a time of injury and I need recreation. I've been on a wayward path and I need him to guide me back. I need the shepherd to be active in my life today." And as I'm going to pray a very brief prayer, I'm going to ask you just to hold up your hand and say, "Jesus, here I am. Here's your sheep, and here I am. I need you to come pick me up in your arms and take me to the place where you want me to be. I want to grow in soul satisfaction with you." Right now, as I'm going to pray, hold up your hand if you say, "I need Christ to come and do this in my life." Hands up all over. I pray now in the name of Jesus for every sheep that is here. We are your sheep. You are our shepherd. And you are doing a work today of recreating us. You are doing a work today of bringing us back onto the path of righteousness. You are doing a work today to bring us to a place of building up a soul that's been starved, a thirst that needs to be quenched. I pray today in the name of Jesus that there would be a new work that is done in our lives. And let us be now become more attentive to the voice of the shepherd, to follow you into those places of righteousness, into those places of rest, into those places of nourishment, and to receive from you everything we need every day, even through the valley of a shadow of death. Some of these whose hands are up today are going through dark times, they're going through valleys. But even now, Lord, you're there to guide us, protect us, keep us, nourish us, and bring us through. We express our trust in you today. You alone are the one who can keep us. And we praise you today in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, congregation? I would like you to join me in doing something. Roger's going to come and lead us in a victorious song. But I would like to, before you even do that, would you just raise your hands and just begin to express your love to Christ and just tell him, I am so grateful I have a shepherd who never sleeps and never slumbers, who never takes his eye off me. Use your voice and begin to tell him you appreciate him and love him. I praise you today, Lord, that nothing can separate me from the love of God that there is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I thank you that your plan for me has never faltered. Your vision for my future has never been changed. That your forgiveness for me, your love for me, your strength for me has never been any different than it is right now. I trust you and I praise you. I thank you for your goodness to me. You are a good shepherd. And today I proclaim the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.